Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams, and we're going to be covering wormwood. Oh, yes. Wormwood, of course, I think best known for being mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 8. We'll get to that. But what's interesting about this herb is that it is never mentioned in the Bible as a literal herb. It's mentioned as something that tastes very bitter. The wormwood herb, or Artemisia, as it's generally known in the plant family, is very bitter tasting. Now, it is these bitters, though, that give wormwood some amazing properties. One of those is, of course, it's a very effective cure for malaria. And wormwood tends to grow in areas where mosquitoes can get out of control and spread malaria. So this is a case of God literally placing the natural medicine in the region where it is most needed. And the very bitter taste of wormwood tells us not to eat it as a food because, well, the artemisinin that it contains is not a food. It is a natural medicine, and it should really only be used therapeutically or medicinally when needed, but not consumed every single day. As with a lot of these natural molecules, there can be toxicity if overconsumed as a food. So one of the pieces of wisdom that God does is through Mother Nature, of course, expressing the mind of God through God's molecules, is that he puts tastes with the herbs to give us a clue as to its use. Something that you are intended to eat daily or frequently will taste neutral or good, such as fruits from the orchard or nuts or seeds or grains, for example. Who doesn't enjoy, you know, oats or rye or wheat or even corn later? I'm not saying corn was in the Old Testament, but what I'm saying is that if it tastes bitter, it's because it contains typically very powerful molecules, sometimes alkaloids, for example. The bitter taste is the taste of the medicinal molecules. In other words, the bitter taste is associated with its medicinal potency. And although different natural medicines have different types of bitter taste, the fact that it tastes kind of yucky or bitter, it's an indication from God that this is to be used sparingly. So wormwood is mentioned in the Bible as something that is bitter. Let's get right to the book of Revelation. So reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 8, the very first verse, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And it goes on from there. You're probably familiar with some of this, the angels and the smoke of the incense and so on. So then it goes through the trumpets, the first trumpet, the vegetation, the second trumpet, the seas. The third trumpet is the striking of the waters. And this is where it mentions wormwood. Now, this is really fascinating for a number of reasons. So verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Now, for context, remember that the book of Revelation was written by John. We don't actually know, is this John the Apostle? Many people believe so, not everybody. We don't actually know, but the author is John. And these are visions that came to John through the power of the Lord working through his consciousness, visions of things to come. And this verse 10 clearly is describing the earth being struck by a large space rock, as I call it, or a meteor or a comet, something colliding with the earth. Here it is. A great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So, you know, what can fall from the heavens like a star? Well, you know, a giant space rock, burning like a torch as it burns up through the atmosphere. And the thing is, these space rocks can carry radioisotopes or toxic elements. This is what's really fascinating to me. You know, I'm a food scientist, and I study food contamination And I have a mass spec laboratory where we routinely test food ingredients and finished food products for heavy metals. So we're very familiar with testing products for arsenic, which is a very toxic element, or lead or mercury or cadmium. And then there are other elements that can be toxic at high doses, such as copper, for example, which it's interesting because copper is nutritive at very low doses, but it's very toxic at higher doses and can cause neurological disorders, including schizophrenia. I don't know if you knew that, but if you overdose on copper, you might start hearing voices in your head that are not God. So just keep that in mind. So whatever is on this great star or this space rock that fell from the heavens, it turned the waters bitter. Does that refer to radiation or does it refer to metals? Now, I believe that this is referring to metals because if you taste the wormwood herb, Artemisia, it is a really nasty, bitter taste. It tastes like some toxic metals. Not that I run around tasting a lot of toxic metals, but I do remember drinking water from wells, especially in my youth, visiting family members in different rural locations, and they had different wells, and some of the well water was crazy nasty, and I did not know why until I became a food scientist. Now, looking back at like, what's wrong with this water? Now I know it's because of heavy metals contamination. And it gave the water a very specific taste that I now know to be heavy metals. I don't know which metal it was. There's one place in particular where I used to drink water and I know it was metal. It might have been arsenic. It might have been copper. It might have been some combination. I don't know for sure. But it was might have been selenium. You know, there's a lot of possibilities in well waters across America and around the world. But did you know that arsenic contamination of wells is the number one cause of cancer around the world? Now keep that in mind because this gets very interesting when it comes to the wormwood herb. But in any case, in the Bible then, in the book of Revelation, it says a third of the waters became wormwood and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So they were drinking it and it was so toxic, so filled with heavy metals that they died, or possibly radioactive substances, if that's what you think this was referring to. And it could be, but I think it's metals because of the taste. Now, possibly it's both. Maybe it was a radioactive form of cesium or uranium, which would have both a metal taste and radioactivity. But thinking about where space rocks come from, if there were radioisotopes breaking down in the space rock, then if it were a high-output radioisotope, it would have already gone through most of its half-lives during the space rock journey, right? So cesium-137, for example, has a 29-year half-life, which means after about 290 years or 10 half-lives, it's considered essentially non-radioactive or harmless. And 290 years for a space rock is nothing. You would figure that many of these space rocks have been flying around for millions of years. So the only kind of radioisotope that could survive a very long trip on a comet or a meteor or what have you would be one that had a very long, long, long half-life, maybe a half-life of like a million years. And that long half-life means it's not emitting much radiation right now. It's barely emitting radiation, and therefore the radiation coming off of it is not itself harmful. It's just not intense enough. So yeah, can you eat radioactive uranium? Well, I'm not recommending that you do, but if you did, I mean, depending on the isotope, you would hardly be exposed to any radiation at all, just to be clear. You can actually buy radioactive uranium online. I think you could buy it on Amazon, and you can have it shipped to you because it's so harmless. It's not even considered a hazardous shipping substance, at least not to my knowledge. I bought some years ago just to test the radioactivity of substances and the efficiency of water filters in removing radioactive substances in my laboratory. And I was able to just get it shipped, you know, without any special permissions or anything, just buy it over the counter, okay? So that's why I believe that in the book of Revelation, it's referring to metals, not radiation. So metals poisoning can cause cancer. Lead, for example, also causes mental retardation or neurological developmental retardation, and many other problems, musculoskeletal problems, heart problems, and so on. But cancer is a common side effect of both arsenic and, to some degree, lead, and we won't even get into mercury here. Well, I've got a story here from naturalnews.com, published in 2023. And here's a quote from the journal Pharmacology and Therapeutics, which is talking about artemisinins for cancer. It says, quote, "Artemisinins have an excellent safety and tolerability profile, as well as being affordable for development in low and middle-class income countries at around $1 per daily dose. Robust, well-designed clinical trials of artemisinin drug repurposing are indicated for a variety of different cancers and treatment settings." It goes on and says that artemisinins are a remarkable class of compounds that have shown promising cytotoxic effects, which means it kills certain cells, against viruses, fungi, and a variety of cancers, as well as powerful anti-inflammatory effects in animal models of asthma, sepsis, arthritis, pancreatitis, systemic lupus, and hemorrhagic shock. The paper explains, I'm reading from the article. Now, these artemisinins, this is a class of compounds, contain a molecule called DHA, which is dihydroartemisinin. And then there are other molecules that are found in the plant that are converted into this dihydroartemisinin, or DHA. And the story goes on to state that sweet wormwood, also known as qinghao in Chinese medicine, has been used in traditional Chinese medicine for 2,000 years to treat fevers and a variety of inflammatory conditions. It says renowned Chinese physician Ge Hong, I'm not sure the intonation of that, who lived in the 3rd century AD, I believe is what it's saying here, listed qinghao as an essential remedy for fevers in the publication called Emergency Prescriptions Kept Up One's Sleeve. So, isn't this interesting? And in 400 BC, when Hippocrates was describing the plagues and the tertian fevers frequently affecting people who live close to swamps and marshlands, well, the Chinese physicians in traditional Chinese medicine were writing about being able to use artemisinin to treat those conditions, noting that the sweet wormwood herb grew naturally in those areas. Now, artemisinin is also known as a very powerful remedy against malaria. And guess what? I took artemisinin during the entire COVID scamdemic. And I did that because of its anti-parasitic properties. Many other people did so too, people who knew what was going on. Now, ivermectin is a prescription medication, but it's available over-the-counter for pet use, by the way, or agricultural or animal use, but ivermectin is also anti-parasitic. And it turns out that ivermectin works extremely well against COVID infections or COVID symptoms or however you attribute the COVID phenomena. But artemisinin is much easier to acquire and you can grow it yourself in many areas. So my interpretation is that sweet wormwood, even though it's given a bad rap in the Bible, it's actually another example of God's miraculous medicine placed here on earth to help us heal. And it grows in the areas where you need it. And this is so often the case. How many times have you learned about cacti or succulents that grow in the desert and treat conditions that are common in deserts? You know, such as dehydration, for example. There are many desert herbs that help the body store and move water appropriately. Or in very wet areas of the world, swampy kind of areas, you get herbs that in Chinese medicine would be considered to be drying herbs. And sweet wormwood or artemisinin is indeed one of those, and it grows in swampy, wet areas. And there are many, many examples of this where the challenges that you face in a specific region gives rise, through the intelligent design of God and Mother Nature, it gives rise to precisely the right molecules that you need in those regions in order to overcome the health challenges that are presented by those conditions. And see, this is why medicine should be regional, or at least sensitive to regional applications and regional health challenges. Because where you live has a unique climate, unique challenges, unique wind patterns, unique rainfall patterns, and so on. And then that gives rise to plants that are appropriate for that area. If you start to take one synthetic universal medicine that the FDA demands or that the pharmaceutical industry demands, then you're not being sensitive to the individual needs or the customization of medicine that is represented through God's plan for medicine. And this is why God doesn't put the same plants everywhere, because you don't need the same plants everywhere. You need certain plants for certain regions. So now we turn to Herbs of the Bible by Dr. James A. Duke, who I have cited before, and we will be citing Dr. Duke's work many times here. Sadly, he passed away in 2017. I was honored to have interviewed him many years earlier before he passed. But that was at a time before I had any knowledge of the Bible, by the way. So only now, after his death, am I fully appreciating his contributions and his work. But in his book, Herbs of the Bible, he talks about wormwood, and he says that the benefits are bronchitis, colds, coughs, fevers, toothaches, and worms, or parasites. And he says in folklore, he refers to the fact that wormwood grew in the Middle East areas that we would now call, for example, modern-day Palestine or areas Israel, these areas. He says that Palestinians use wormwood leaves as a folk remedy for toothaches. In Egypt, wormwood was used against tapeworms. And Bedouins believe that the fumes from the burning wormwood leaves will keep away the evil eye. Now, what's interesting to me about that is that if you take a bunch of wormwood herb and you dry it and you bundle it up into a stick, then in Chinese medicine, it's known as moxa. And moxa, a lot of people don't know this about moxa, but a Chinese medicine practitioner will light the end of this kind of cigar-shaped wormwood herb bundle, and it will burn, and then it will have embers. And then a Chinese medicine practitioner will get kind of close to your skin, not enough to burn you, but close enough to warm your skin. So because of the burning embers of the wormwood, it emits certain types of warming radiation into your body. Now, you might wonder, well, why don't they burn something else that's simpler? Because, by the way, burning wormwood in Chinese medicine smells a lot like pot. And there are many Chinese practitioners who have been using these moxa sticks, and then somebody smells it nearby and thinks, oh, you must be smoking joints in there. No, it's called moxa treatment, or moxibustion, and it's part of traditional Chinese medicine. Well, do you know what determines the wavelengths of the infrared light that is emitted by the embers of the wormwood herb? It's the construction of the molecules in wormwood. And the key molecule being artemisinin. So when you burn artemisinin in the full context of the herb, it emits certain wavelengths of infrared light that penetrate your tissues up to 6 inches deep. And the infrared light brings back to life what are called senescent cells, or cells that have gone into a near-death zombie state. And so someone who is lacking circulation or suffering from a lack of an ability to heal, and this can work wonders in people with, for example, diabetic neuropathy in the feet or the lower legs, when the body is subjected to the moxibustion infrared rays from the burning of the artemisinin, which the Bible says is bitter, what actually happens is the invisible light of the wormwood, kind of like the light of the falling star mentioned in the book of Revelation, the invisible light awakens the cells and it brings circulation to that area because the body says, oh, this area must be awake now. We have to increase circulation. And the increase in circulation then gets those cells moving again, gets them, you know, moving water, eliminating cellular waste products, and bringing in new nutrients from the blood flow. So that's how the cells are reawakened. And this is all possible from the burning of wormwood. Don't you find that interesting? I think it's really fascinating. Back to the book Herbs of the Bible. Nile Valley farmers fumigate their poultry with the smoke of the burning wormwood leaves. And they hang out the branches as a snake repellent. Did you know that? It's a snake repellent. I could probably use that in my chicken house. I was wondering where all the eggs went. Have you seen my video of the egg burping snake? Yeah, I caught a video of a snake having just swallowed an egg. It was still very close in its neck, and I tapped the tail of the snake. Hey, Mr. Snakey, Snakey. And the snake then retreats and burps up the egg and spits it back out. And I call that the egg burping snake video. And I can't stop laughing because these snakes are so funny to me. So I just tap them on the tail, and I know what they're going to do. One thing about being able to safely be around snakes or serpents is to know what they're capable of and know what they're not capable of. The first time I saw these snakes, I was terrified many years ago. I was really afraid of them, and now I just laugh because they're comedic to me. But in any case, apparently you can fumigate poultry areas. Just be sure they have good ventilation. Obviously, you don't want to kill your chickens with smoke. Camels that graze on wormwood are said to be spared certain skin diseases. Huh? Wormwood has been recommended as a forage plant on the high plateau of Algeria. Well, that's kind of interesting. And it says that Bedouins expose their newborn babies to the smoke of burning wormwood leaves to ensure the baby's good health. And then they insert leaves into the nostrils, not of the babies, but of themselves, as a decongestant during colds. Hey, what you got in your nostrils there, buddy?
Just some wormwood. Why? Why do you ask?
Can you imagine? So anyway, to bring this full circle, isn't it fascinating that, again, the Bible talks about something falling out of the sky during the book of Revelation, which probably, by the way, is a judgment against man's sin. And I expect we shall see this again at some point. We're going to see giant flaming mountains and space rocks falling out of the sky, no question about it. But then it's called bitter wormwood because of the heavy metals it releases into the water, which sort of reinforces the importance, by the way, of making sure you have some kind of water purification solution or a water filter that can remove heavy metals, right? I don't mean just in case of giant rocks falling out of the sky, but I mean for all kinds of uses. We don't know where the contaminants are going to come from. We don't know, you know, the people that live in, like, Pennsylvania, you know, it was like a year and a half ago, then suddenly there was a train wreck and all this horrible toxins going up in a giant plume of toxic chemicals falling on their farms. It's a good time to have a water filter, right? We don't know what's going to be falling out of the atmosphere because of man's chemicals and man's industrial accidents or man's war or man's nuclear detonations or terroristic detonations or false flag attacks or who knows what. So good idea to have a water filter. But then because of the heavy metals poisoning that can cause cancer, God places upon our earth the very herb, wormwood, that can help treat cancer and can treat parasites. So you see, as I say, if you walk around a typical forest, there is nothing in the forest that is not medicine. There may be plenty of things that are not recognized as medicine by whatever civilization is currently, you know, claiming ownership of that forest, which is silly anyway. We don't own nature. We're just sort of here as stewards for it temporarily. But everything in the forest is medicine of one kind or another. And wormwood herb, or artemisinin, the extract from wormwood, is a very powerful medicine. If I were living in an area with malaria, I would absolutely make sure that I had this medicine handy. And you know how we talk about purity of the blood as one of the key pillars of the teachings of our church, right? Purity of the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, here's another story from Natural News. Artemisinin is a powerful remedy against malaria, and it says here that the WHO published a question and answer page about artemisinin, and even the World Health Organization admits that sweet wormwood or artemisinin are part of, quote, powerful medicines known for their ability to swiftly reduce the number of Plasmodium parasites in the blood of patients with malaria. See, this is even admitted by the WHO. And remember that malaria infects your blood with bacteria, with essentially parasites that are injected by the mosquitoes. And so achieving blood purity, sometimes you need to turn to these natural medicines. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. There's also another study published in 2018 in the journal Nature Communications. And it found that this artemisinin compound kills the malaria parasites in two different ways. It says that the consequent accumulation of proteasome substrates, i.e., unfolded slash damaged and polyubiquitinated proteins, activates the ER stress response and underpins DHA-mediated killing. Okay, that's very technical, but basically it means that wormwood defeats malaria in your blood, and it therefore purifies your blood. Isn't that interesting? And you might wonder, well, I've heard about quinine. What about quinine for malaria? Yes, very effective. But there's also a review of the various medicines that have been used to treat malaria, and it says, this is from British researchers in the Cochrane database of systematic reviews, and it says that the evidence suggests that artemisinin drugs are no worse than quinine in preventing death in severe or complicated malaria. And it follows up and says, no artemisinin derivative appears to be better than the others. In other words, they all work. They all work. God's medicine provided to you for free. You can grow it. You can use it. You can use it in many different ways. You can use it in Chinese medicine. You can use it in herbal medicine. This is powerful. It's anti-cancer. It's anti-malaria. And the fascinating thing to me is that the Bible doesn't mention any of these properties that are positive about wormwood, which just also tells us something. That the Bible wasn't written as an herbal encyclopedia. Various foods and superfoods and herbs and oils are mentioned, but the Bible is a teaching guide for morality and spirituality primarily, with foods and herbs incidental to the primary teachings. And so that's why we must bring in additional information beyond what the Bible says when it mentions something like wormwood. We have to bring in other additional information to fully understand the miracle of God's medicine. I wish there were a book of the Bible that was just focused on herbs and foods, but it does not exist. So we get to do our research and learn and gain wisdom and do the best we can with the information we have and impart that knowledge to you and give you the blessings to continue to learn this yourself, share this knowledge with the understanding this is God's medicine. And frankly, for every chronic degenerative disease on this planet, cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes, every single one of them, God has an answer. God has an answer that has been here long before the very existence of the FDA or Big Pharma or any pharmaceutical company or any vaccine for that matter. God's medicine is eternal. It is free of charge And it works. And it's safe and efficacious. But it doesn't enrich the pharmaceutical cartels, which is why the FDA refuses to recognize any of God's medicine. The FDA only recognizes satanic medicine. And this is the key discernment that we must keep in mind. The molecules that hurt you and harm you and kill you, like chemotherapy and the vaccine injections and all the rest, those are approved by the FDA. The molecules that help you and heal you and love you are authorized and approved by God. So in your medical journey, you can always make a choice of, do you want Satan's medicine or do you want God's medicine? Now, just for the record, I do understand that in emergency situations, there can be a God-aligned justification for things like emergency antibiotics or emergency painkillers or emergency, you know, blood thinners for stroke victims at that moment. There is a place for emergency medical intervention, and I fully understand that, and I'm not opposed to that. What I'm saying is that chronic degenerative diseases are very poorly handled by Western medicine or pharmaceutical medicine, and they're not really handled at all. To stay healthy, to have longevity, to prevent chronic degenerative disease, turn to God's medicine, God's molecules, expressed through Mother Nature. And that is why I am teaching these sermons. As a food scientist, as a nutrition-oriented person for over 2 decades, and now as a teacher of our book of faith, our Bible, the Christian tradition with an overlay of nutrition. Hey, that actually rhymes. The Christian tradition with extra nutrition. So we'll have to do some rhymes and poems and limericks and so on, but we always have fun with this. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. There's much more to come. Be sure to hear the other sermons. We're at around 20 sermons so far out of 100, so we've got about 80 more to go. Wherever you found this sermon, you can go there and hear more sermons, and we're going to be covering a lot more foods and herbs and also moral purity and other similar topics taught from the Bible and other sources that are relevant. So thank you for listening. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.